talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is one of the best things that could happen for the great state of Montana, and the process is getting underway later today. And I'll bet you this story not only gets downplayed by the mainstream media, by the legacy media here in Montana, I'll bet you even a lot of conservatives don't understand just how big of a story this is, how important this is for Montana. Hey, let's start off the morning here with some very good news. We've got Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines with us live right now. Senator, great to have you back on the show. I'm excited that this judicial hearing is taking place later today.
Aaron, you nailed it as usual. I think this is one of the most underreported stories in Montana. Let me step back for a moment and frame where we're at. If you go back to 2012, in fact, when I first ran for the U.S. House, there was only one statewide elected Republican and seven Democrats. Now, in Montana, going back to 1889, statehood is the first time we've had every elected official in Helena is a Republican, and our entire federal delegation are Republicans. The last hill to climb is reforming the judicial branch. Of course, we have the challenges with our state Supreme Court, one of the worst Supreme Courts in America. But if you look at the federal district judges, there's three of them in Montana. All three of them are Obama-appointed judges. Today, I'll be going to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee and introducing Bill Mercer, a solid conservative. He'll be a great judge nominated by President Trump, who will fill one of those three positions. The second position in Montana, that Obama judge announced her retirement. So we'll have a chance to put a second Trump judge. In other words, in the not-too-distant future, Aaron, we're going to have a majority of our federal district judges in Montana as Trump-appointed judges. These judges are lifetime appointments. These are the kind of legacy moments that will affect our kids and perhaps even to our grandkids.
Yeah, this is so key. I mean, you look at why has our timber industry been killed, what's been anti-mining in Montana, anti-oil, gas, coal, agriculture, crazy far-left woke agenda. It's all been pushed and backed by these far-left liberal federal judges put on the bench by Democrats. And so, but it's credit to you and a move you made last year to block their attempt to basically pack the court before Biden got out of power.
Well, this is what John Tester and I talked about. Remember last year, we were in the middle of an election season, and the Democrats wanted to fill this vacant Obama judge position in Montana with another, you know, Obama-like judge, with a Biden-nominated judge. And it takes both senators have to agree to move forward with the nomination process, and John Tester and I could not agree on the judge to replace for that vacant position. And so I said, look, we're gonna wait until the election, and if President Trump wins, we'll move forward with a Trump nominee. And I was called all kinds of terrible names because I blocked a judge that John Tester nominated without my support.
And thanks to that move, President Trump now has two nominees for judges here in Montana. Hold that thought. More with Senator Daines right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly sunny conditions today and some scattered showers and storms developing mainly in the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay from the upper 70s to the lower 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms early on yet, and then temperatures will bottom out in the mid-50s to around 60. Thursday, looking at a mix of clouds and sun and more showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon, with highs from the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Tuesday marked the 250th anniversary of the creation of the U.S. Army's Chaplain's Corps, established by then-General George Washington in 1775, about 6 weeks after the initial formation of the U.S. Army. The aim, to provide ministerial and moral support to the soldiers. Major General William Greene Jr. is the current Army Chief of Chaplains.
He needed individuals he could rely upon. And so those chaplains were there to care for those soldiers.
Sound courtesy of the Your Next Mission podcast, General Green says things haven't changed much in 2.5 centuries.
We're still walking with our soldiers, ensuring that we care for them, showing compassion, love, and respect, but then also setting the conditions for them to help us as a nation to win.
There are more than 3,000 chaplains in the Corps and more than 500 chaplain candidates. Kevin Lansky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so real quick, folks, what the very good news is for today is that later today, the nomination hearing for Bill Mercer, a Montana Republican state lawmaker, to become a federal judge here in Montana, that confirmation hearing is moving forward in the Judiciary Committee, as I understand it, here later this morning. So that's the good news. And then there's another judicial nomination that'll follow on the heels of that one. He's a former U.S. attorney, of course, as well. Senator Daines, I saw a recent op-ed that you wrote about the One Big Beautiful Bill and all of the big wins that are in there for Montana. I mean, the no tax on tips. I think everybody's tracking that one. You were the first to come out and file legislation, sponsor legislation, after President Trump first talked about that down in Nevada. But there's some really good Montana-specific stuff in here, like for the Bull Mountains mine near Roundup and for timber sales and so much more.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of these bills, Aaron. Unlike most bills in Washington, this is one where the more you dig into it, the better it gets. Most big bills in Washington are not big and beautiful. They're big and ugly. And the more you dig into them, the uglier they get. This is one that truly is, as Trump so correctly called it, a big, beautiful bill. Saving the Bull Mountain Mine, of course, is a big win for Montana. One of the other big wins for Montana and for ag country is what we did in the death tax. I cannot tell you how many times I've met with the Farm Bureau, the stock growers, wool growers, grain growers. When they come to Washington or I visit them when I'm back in Montana, one of their issues has always been, we got to do something about the estate tax because we're not being able to pass on our generational farms to the kids. We put in a permanent fix here, a $30 million exemption indexed for inflation every year in perpetuity. And so now we're going to be protecting most farms and ranches from the tax man upon death. And that is an important way to preserve and protect Montana agriculture. There's some other wins in terms of natural resources. We expanded onshore and offshore oil and gas leasing. We mandated 6 lease sales over 10 years to the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. We increased revenue sharing from offshore drilling for Gulf of America states. We also strengthened wildfire management prevention capabilities through expanded timber sales on public lands. I mean, there's just so much in this bill, Aaron, and there's a lot of wins for Montana.
Oh, I even saw something random the other day, like Pell Grants. Okay, so you can get a Pell Grant to go get a 4-year liberal arts degree in basket weaving, right? But you can't use a Pell Grant to go to a trade school. That was a change that was made in here. Second Amendment rights, doing away with these unconstitutional taxes on our Second Amendment rights. That's what Southern Democrats did to prevent First Amendment rights, to block black Americans from voting, and they've had these types of unconstitutional provisions against our gun rights. That was changed.
For those listeners who have suppressors, which I've got, if they call them cans on most of my rifles now, suppressors will no longer be taxed. It's going to take, I think it's about 90 days before that goes into effect. But suppressors no longer have a tax on them, as well as any short barrel firearms. So it's another win for the Second Amendment, as you mentioned. But this is, again, a bill. If we were to list all the items in here, Aaron, it would probably take us a half hour going through line by line of the big wins. But let's not forget, the biggest win was stopping a $4.5 trillion tax increase on the American people. The biggest tax increase in American history was coming in January had President Trump not led the way with the support of Republicans. By the way, had Tim Sheehy not won that Senate race in Montana, the bill would have failed. It passed 50-50, with J.D. Vance breaking the tie. Every single Democrat voted against that bill. And I can tell you, if John Tester were here, he would have voted against it. And Montana's listing the largest tax increase in American history.
And now, no tax on Social Security benefits for the overwhelming number of seniors as well. That's a huge deal that our listeners have talked about for years. A couple of minutes here with Senator Steve Daines. President Trump with another trade victory with the European Union, seeing great reaction from the National Cattlemen and from National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Farm Bureau.
Well, by the way, talking about a win for the cow guys, last night I had dinner with Kevin Rudd, who was the former Prime Minister of Australia and now the Australian Ambassador to the United States. I had dinner at his residence last night talking about U.S. beef. Australia, for the first time now, has cleared the way for us to export U.S. beef into the Australian market. That's another win for President Trump and for his trade team. But now going back to the EU, this was a big one. Many thought that Trump couldn't pull it off. He was playing hardball with the EU. They've got a lot of tariff and non-tariff barriers. Many of those removed, give us much better access now for Montana ag producers.
Did the Australian guy, did he admit that Montana beef is way better than their beef?
I told him that Australian beef tastes like kangaroo. He didn't like that.
You know, there was South African beef. There was, I think, Australian beef when I was over in the Middle East and, you know, lived out on the town. And it was like, it just doesn't taste the same. It's just, you know, and I know we're biased, but I'm telling you, man, it just doesn't taste the same. But
well,
you know that.
We had talked about the differences last night, but, you know, we finish our cows with corn and so forth. And they're 100% grass-fed. I have nothing against grass-fed beef, but we give the consumer and give one who loves American beef a choice. And sometimes U.S. consumers like that corn, those finishes there at the feedlot.
Or even pea-fed. I've heard of pea-fed beef as well. There's so many different options. But all right, well, Senator Steve Daines, 20 seconds. What else do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Well, I'll tell you, of course, we're in the middle of fire season at the moment, and we've got to keep a wits about us. We've had some good rains in part of our state. Other parts of our states are in a drought condition. But the combines are going to start getting out there. They are right now, bringing home the grain harvest, and it's time to be very aware and wary right now what's going on with fires for sure.
That's right. Yeah, Representative Jerry Schillinger, his state rep, he's like, oh, now that it's time to harvest, we're getting the moisture. Of course, it always happens.
It always happens. Yeah,
Senator Daines.
Barley turns into feed barley.
Tell everybody hi at Montana Coffee. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
I'll do it.
I appreciate it. Okay, quick break back right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Senate Republicans had to bring Vice President Vance to the Capitol recently to break two ties on procedural votes to begin debate on the bill to cut money for public broadcasting and USAID. Republicans have a 53-47 advantage in the Senate, but former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, along with Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins of Maine, voted nay. That produced a 50-50 tie. Fox is told that some Senate Republicans are tiring of McConnell opposing the GOP and President Trump on various issues. Quote, he used to be the leader. He was always telling us we need to stick together, said one GOP senator who requested anonymity. Now he's off voting however he wants. How time flies. Note that McConnell led Senate Republicans as recently as early January, but McConnell ultimately voted for the legislation when the Senate approved it 51-48, despite his votes to break the procedural hurdles. Murkowski and Collins were the only no's. The services of Vice President Vance weren't needed due to McConnell's I vote and the absence of Democratic Minnesota Senator Tina Smith. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, we got a great guest kicking off Wednesday's Montana Talks. He's the head of the union representing the great men and women of our U.S. Border Patrol. Paul Perez, president of the National Border Patrol Council, joining us on Wednesday's Montana Talks. And then after that, we'll have the phone lines open for you and what you want to talk about. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. That's what's coming up on Wednesday. Thursday, we're live out on the town in Kalispell, ahead of the Governor's Cup.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is urging support for the Hauling Exemptions for Livestock Protections Act, or HILP Act, introduced by Representative Jeff Hurd of Colorado. The legislation supports livestock haulers by protecting drivers from burdensome hours of service and electronic logging device mandates. NCBA Policy Division Chair and Oregon rancher Sky Krebs says that livestock haulers need flexibility to complete their trips free from government mandates.
It's an animal safety, health and safety issue. You get those animals on a truck, that truck needs to roll. And they need to get there. They can't be stopping when they're out of hours and having those livestock sit on those trucks, especially in your summer months and stuff. So they need to get there. I mean, the data shows that the livestock hauler's safety record is the best of the industry. Very, very few incidents. So it's an animal health and safety deal to get those animals where they need to be in the quickest amount of time.
Now, the HILP Act would reinstate permanent hours of service and ELD exemptions, providing the flexibility necessary to safely transport livestock. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Montana harvest season is here, and so is wildfire season. One spark from hot equipment, a bearing, or a piece of metal can ignite a fire that spreads fast. Before you head to the field, check and clean your equipment. Keep a water source and extinguisher close. And avoid operating during the hottest, driest parts of the day. Your simple precautions can prevent a costly wildfire. This message is brought to you by the Montana DNRC, protecting our lands and communities.
Verified increases in vitamin A and E in forage grown with in-soil algae has generated increased cattle health and productivity at Reminis Ranch. A 162% and 68% increase respectively has boosted conception rates and immune system health, significantly reducing the need for mineral supplements and chemical fertilizer. In-soil algae at Reminis Ranch. Healthy soils for better beef and healthier people. Find us at remangus.com.
Well, USDA APHIS has announced it'll no longer conduct NEPA analysis when approving genetically engineered seeds as unregulated articles that can be freely sold on the interstate market. Bottom line, it could make it easier to bring new GE seeds to the market. And finally this morning, last week, Montana Farm Bureau members were back in Washington, D.C., working Capitol Hill on important issues. And Miles City rancher Eric Moore told me that it's a very favorable egg climate right now.
I guess the one thing that I want to get across has really struck me, because I got to come in 2023 during the last administration. And boy, if you don't think it matters who wins elections, come to Washington, D.C. and talk about agriculture from one administration to the next. I don't want to be too partisan, but there's just a simple fact that there was one administration that was ag friendly and the previous one was not. And there's just, at every level and every agency you talk to, that just comes out blazingly clear.
Now, the group, which also included Casey Mott, Buddy Sheff, and Nicole Rolfe, met with White House staff along with Montana's congressional delegation, as well as the Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as with the public policy team at the American Farm Bureau Federation. For the Western Egg Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
By the way, yeah, I think that was Eric Moore that I just heard there in Russell's Farm and Ranch Report, former state senator out of Miles City, rancher. In fact, it's fun. We'll get messages from him while he's, in the tractor or out checking on cows or whatever while he's listening in to Montana Talks from Miles City. You heard about his D.C. trip. He's going to join us actually later on this morning around 9:20. Right after we hear from the head of the National Border Patrol Council. I just saw a post on X earlier this morning. In fact, I reposted this one myself as well. A great guy in Bozeman, Colt, shared this on X. I think it was also shared on Instagram as well. But Colt shot me a message last night. He says, hey, please read how the city of Bozeman is treating their female firefighter slash medic. Bozeman HR compared her loss of her child to a loss of a pet. Anyway, he sent me that message last night. I said, man, if you know her, have her give us a call into this show. And thankfully, she's on the phone lines right now. We've got, I believe it is Gabby Murphy with us on the phone lines. Gabby, thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for your service. Tell us what you do in Bozeman.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the air. So I am, like Coulter said, a firefighter paramedic for the city, for the Bozeman Fire Department, and I have been there for the past 6 years. So that's my role there. And up until this point, I've loved it. It's definitely been like a calling. It's been a great job. And this issue with the city is the first time that I've ever experience something like this that has made me kind of question the values of our Bozeman city leadership.
Yeah, well, first off, big thanks for your service and your sacrifice. I mean, that's just incredible work, incredible job. People don't realize how many different things firefighters don't just respond to potential house fires and fires. I mean, you respond to everything. You've got to deal with all sorts of craziness from the meth heads or, people that maybe abuse the system, constantly calling 911 or whatever, and then you never know what type of dangerous situation. And then you're saving lives on top of that. So tell us your story here. It just sounds heartbreaking. Anybody who's lost a child, I don't know how hard that's got to be. You would never want to deal with that. But people, I know friends and family who have lost babies during pregnancy, and it is just as tragic as losing a grown child or a baby that had gone through the full pregnancy, as I understand it. And this happened to you.
Absolutely. I think it's one of those things I didn't understand until I had personally experienced it. And so my husband and I, we struggled for years with infertility, and then we had also had a previous baby loss that was tragic. It's absolutely barbaric, and until you've experienced it, you just can't understand. And so we finally had become pregnant again, and we were very excited, obviously. And as the pregnancy had progressed, I began to just have really bad pain in my abdomen. And for a week, I knew what it was. I knew something was not right. But when you are that determined that you can save your pregnancy, you can save your baby, it's just pain. And if you don't think about it, it's not real. And you can make it not real. That's where my mind was. It wouldn't change. And so for a week, I just was dealing with just this intense pain. And then I woke up one day and I knew I couldn't put it off anymore. I couldn't deny it anymore. I had to go to the hospital. So I told my husband, I need to go to the ER. And by the time he got me there, I had become unconscious. I had lost, they told us afterwards, about 3 liters of blood, and had to be sent to emergency surgery. And I remember waking up from surgery and thinking, maybe it was just my appendix. Maybe it was something else. Maybe somehow this baby is still okay. And they came in and told me, no, you had an ectopic pregnancy, so a pregnancy that grows outside of your uterus, and it had ruptured. And so they said, you survived, we got you, but your baby, unfortunately, did not. And it was tragic. It was absolutely, like, to this day, it still just tears me up. So after that, I had reached out to the city of Bozeman, to the HR department, and it asked, we have a bereavement leave policy at our in the city, and one of the criteria was if you had lost a child. And so I had reached out to them and asked, can I utilize this policy, please? I lost a child via pregnancy. And unfortunately, they had my FMLA paperwork that had said that I had gone out on an ectopic pregnancy, which ectopic pregnancies typically don't progress past 12 weeks before something you either realize it's in the wrong place or something like my situation happens and it ruptures. And so they assumed, no, we think you were 12 weeks or under, and we don't think that your loss counts. And so they called me on the phone and said, you don't qualify for this benefit. I asked why, and they just said, you just don't.
Yeah, it's a tragic loss. This is exactly why bereavement leave policies are in place, yet they denied it to you because it was an ectopic pregnancy. This post on Instagram or on X that I saw here says that they basically complained it to they compared this to losing a pet.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
After that initial phone call, it wasn't a good enough answer for me, you know. I thought, it says child in your policy. I lost my child. I would like to know more. I wanted to keep digging and kind of push them on this issue a little bit. And so I had scheduled in-person meeting, and that's when they had basically had said, you know, we decided that you don't count and that, you know, we have to deny bereavement leave request like this. This would be just like somebody requesting bereavement leave for a lost pet. And so in the months that followed, I went to I don't even know how many meetings between the HR representatives, the head of HR, and the city manager, Chuck Wynn. And I just kept thinking, if I can just tell them my story, if I can just show them where I'm coming from, if I can just try to convey to them the importance of this, maybe I can get them to see where I'm coming from. And it just never, the comments became more and more insensitive as time went on. The reasons kept changing, and we never got anywhere.
So not only are they standing by their interpretation of the policy, but they just seem totally indifferent to the plight of one of their own female firefighters and medics that suffered a significant loss. I'll tell you what, Gabby, I got to take a hard commercial break here. If you can you stand by in a news break, and we'll come back to you after this, because I want to hear more from you if you can stay with us. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Gabby was able to stick around with us here for a little bit longer. Yeah, if you want to read more about the story we're talking about right now, in her own words, Gabby Murphy shared her full story on Instagram. Colt at WarPony85 on X. Great guy. I know him. He's a great military veteran. A great family. He and his wife are business owners in Bozeman, etc. But he said this: please read how the city of Bozeman is treating their female firefighter / medic. Bozeman HR compared her loss of her child to the loss of a pet as she struggled through what's known as an ectopic pregnancy. And, and then, of course, Gabby called in this morning and is sharing her story with us. And by the way, if anybody from the city of Bozeman wants to respond or give us more information, as always, you know, we always allow all sides to be in on the conversation here. But we're hearing Gabby's story for the first time. Gabby, you know, you and I talked a little bit during the break. There's a couple things that stand out to me. One is that no matter where people sit on the pro-life issue, it seems to me that there's always an attempt, you know, by so many to downplay the significance of the baby in the mother's womb. And there's people that refuse to acknowledge how significant that mother-child connection is when the baby is in the womb. And it is the loss of a child. It's not the loss of a whatever, right?
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, a lot of people don't understand the depths of the grief until they've been through it. But even very early on in pregnancy, that baby's blood is intertwined with yours. You have a name picked out, probably. Plans for this baby. You and your spouse, especially, you know, after having been through infertility, my husband and I, we had names picked out. We had bought things. We're preparing the nursery. You know, that's our baby. And so to hear it being compared to a pet, or being told that, you know, pregnancy loss is common, so not that many people care about it, or any of the other reasons I was given, it's incredibly offensive, and to a mother especially that's already grieving the loss of their child and everything that they could have been and never even getting to have help them, to then have to defend against arguments like that, it is just agonizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other thing, and again, I don't know your politics. Frankly, I don't care what your politics are. I mean, I care, but for this story, we just care that, hey, this is a woman serving her community, putting her life on the line to serve her community. She lost a child. They have a bereavement leave policy, and they refuse to allow that policy to cover her or somebody else in her situation. What's next in this process? What are you hoping for? Change in policy, I'm assuming, our listeners to contact the city of Bozeman. What's next in this process, and what are you hoping for?
Absolutely. So partway through the discussions that I've been having for the past year with the city, they had changed the policy even further to specifically exclude pregnancy loss of prior to 20 weeks. And so I think, you know, through meetings and discussions and everything, we have just made zero progress. So I think it's important that if this matters to people, that the city hall and the commissioners, that they hear about it. Because I have tried. I've tried conveying my story and research and all of the reasons why I believe that this is important and why they should support it. But I think at this point, they need to hear it from the community. So if this resonates with people, I would really encourage you, reach out to the city commissioners. There's four of them. Their phone numbers and contact is on the city website. Reach out to City Hall. Tell them, you know, if this matters to you and you want to see change, I think the only way that that's going to happen is they need to know that this matters to people. And, yeah, that's kind of what I'm pushing for. I do have an arbitration hearing on the 6th just regarding how they had, in my opinion, not follow their current policy when denying me the leave. But I think for them, us to continue to push for a better policy so that no other employee gets treated this way, I think they need to know that people do care about this.
Did I hear you right that after hearing your plight, after hearing your story and what you went through, that they doubled down and they didn't respond compassionately, say, hey, maybe we need to look at changing this policy, maybe we need to revisit this, but this is our policy for now. But instead, they actually doubled down and said, we're going to make the policy even more strict, even more stringent. So they heard everything that you went through and said, you know what, we're going to make this even worse.
Yes. Now it is part of the policy that you have to be able to provide a death certificate for any loss, whether pregnancy loss, family loss, anything, you have to be able to provide a death certificate, and pregnancy loss prior to 20 weeks is not included.
Wow. You know, the other thing I was going to say here too, and again, not injecting politics into this, but we're talking about city government priorities is, you know, we've seen all this debate. They spent all this time, they're using taxpayer money to raise a certain political flag, and they claim that they want to raise that flag because they want a certain segment of the community, of the population, to know that they are safe, that they are loved, or whatever. But yet, here they have, you know, one of their own firefighters who suffered tremendous loss, and they have seemingly little care or concern for you.
Yes. You can be anything you want to be unless you are grieving an early pregnancy loss. Then you are just sick.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Well, Gabby, thanks for calling in and sharing your story, and I'm really sorry for what you and your husband have gone through. I know that, you know, for people who've struggled with the loss of a baby like that, it is a deep emotional wound that many people cannot comprehend unless they've been through that. So thanks for sharing your story as well, and maybe it'll help some moms down the road, and keep us posted on your battle here.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, thanks so much for calling in. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Mike in Bozeman, you just heard her story. What's your thoughts, Mike?
Right up front, the total situation here is this is the kind of treatment that you get when you have communists in charge of people and a community. And I'm a grandfather and a father of three daughters. I've got seven grandsons and two granddaughters. And my number one of two granddaughters came about as a result of our oldest daughter having two miscarriages. One and the last one happened to be far enough along that when it occurred at home, they were out on a ranch where my son-in-law worked. And my son-in-law and daughter had to take care of the evacuation themselves, and they buried the little baby girl under a tree in the yard where they live. And it tore my guts out.
I'll bet.
When I heard about that, and so I totally understand, sympathize with Gabby and her husband. And like I said, this is what happens when you have communists in charge, and we need to get them out in as fast as we can and as soon as possible. And that's what I got
to
say.
You do have to wonder if, because of the politics, because of the far-left politics, I mean, they so often refuse to acknowledge the significance of the baby in the womb, because if they do that, there's other implications. We've seen it in crazy criminal cases where somebody will murder a pregnant woman. There's two deaths there. There's the loss of two lives there, but they don't want to acknowledge the other life, because then they might have to acknowledge some other things. It sounds, at least, and you know, I'm definitely open to hearing a response from the city of Bozeman, et cetera, here, but it sounds to me like you know, they, you know, want to refuse to acknowledge this, not merely for financial reasons or whatever, but you know, it sounds like potentially political reasons and considerations as well.
And the pride flag goes right along with it.
Well, that's the thing, like, look at how loving we are. We're raising this flag to show how much we love this, and this crowd. But yet our own female firefighter who risks her life for this city, your grief doesn't matter. Your loss doesn't matter. But we're going to spend taxpayer dollars. We're going to, you know, raise everybody's property taxes even more and spend taxpayer dollars, you know, for a legal spat with the state so we can raise our little flag. Yeah. Mike, thanks for the phone call. Wow. What a powerful call there, talking about that loss that your family faced as well. Let's see. Quick break, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. And thanks to our friend Coulter for sharing that story with us and for having Gabby call in.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now Miranda Devine writes, $1 trillion worth of Obama-era greenhouse gas regulations for cars and trucks and engines will be gotten rid of this year, along with the unpopular stop-start feature in vehicles. Sounds like a death trap. And the EPA proposal to repeal the 2009 endangerment finding represents a massive rollback to U.S. climate action. But with this proposal, the Trump EPA is proposing to end 16 years of uncertainty for automakers. And Zeldin claims the repeal will save Americans as much as $50 billion annually on cheaper cars by slashing greenhouse gas emission standards on vehicles. I mean, why do we do this to people? Why do we burden people? Why didn't government get out of our way?
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean Hannity here, and these are certainly uncertain times with everything happening overseas. We've got to be on high alert here at home. Everyone needs to go to BYRNA.com. Why? I want you to see this non-lethal technology that can save lives, and you will see their compact launcher, the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. And you can incapacitate any perpetrator, regardless of size, 30 to 40 minutes. The great thing about Burner is it has kinetic rounds designed to incapacitate these people. The compact launcher is perfect for women if you want protection and you don't want to carry a firearm, and you can put it in your purse and nobody will know you have it. Burner, no background check, can be shipped directly to your door. BYRNA is trusted by all of the professionals because the technology is so superior and a great alternative to lethal force. Visit Byrna, BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly sunny conditions today and some scattered showers and storms developing mainly in the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay from the upper 70s to the lower 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms early on yet, and then temperatures will bottom out in the mid-50s to around 60. Thursday, looking at a mix of clouds and sun and more showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon, with highs from the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
There are some exciting matchups in the 2025 Legion Baseball Tournament. Hey, guys, our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, he's been doing some great things, umpiring some games this summer, so he did a big write-up for us. You know, football may be right around the corner, but playoff baseball is in full swing here in Montana. Eyes turn north to Medicine Hat, Alberta. That's where the Montana kids will be playing in the state AA championship. So check out Caden's preview. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Gabby said something else interesting when I was chatting with her off air during the break. She said that one of the responses from the city of Bozeman was, well, if we give you bereavement leave for what you just suffered through, then we're worried that all of these city employees might abuse this policy. And she had a great point, which is like, well, what kind of people are you hiring? Who is being paid by the taxpayers with money that could be going to police and firefighters? Like, if you're worried that all these city government employees are going to abuse this policy and basically commit fraud, why are these people handling our taxpayer dollars? Why are these people employed? If you have people that you can't trust that are working for the city of Bozeman, why are they still working for the city of Bozeman? I thought that was a really good point that she made there. Tim and Savage sent us a message after hearing Gabby's story. He says this, it just gets worse and worse in Bozeman with the city politics there, of course. So what he's referring to, Tim, thanks for the message. I'd love to get your take if you wanted to call in as well, 406-294-0970, and not just for Tim, but for you guys as well. We do have the phone lines open right now. We're going to have the phone lines open for most of the 7 o'clock hour of the show coming up here as well, and then pretty big lineup for most of the rest of the morning, but we should have some gaps here and there. We'll just have an open phone. So, of course, as we have different guests on, we always try to sneak in phone calls as well. If we've got a long enough amount of time with the guests, we've got a couple of big guests joining us here later this morning. That'll be shorter windows. But, some other Montana news here. This story just caught my eye. This was just, I looked an hour ago on the Billings Gazette website and hadn't seen this story an hour ago, but I see it's up there now. I saw somebody posted this one on X. Here's the headline from the Lee newspapers. Montana Democrats in disarray. Leaked memo details infighting over party unity and strategy. At the Democrats' final press conference of the 2025 Montana legislature, House Minority Leader Katie Sullivan celebrated the session as a victory. Less than 4 weeks later, an unsigned memo began to circulate that accused some Democrats of blind bipartisanship. Blind bipartisanship that derailed a number of their priorities. Discovery that the House Democrats' chief of staff penned the memo and that Sullivan knew about it sent quiet shockwaves through the caucus of Montana Democrats and laid bare a rift that had been simmering for months. Titled Tangible Damages, the 23-page report obtained by the Montana State News Bureau slammed certain Montana legislative Democrats' decisions to work unquestionably with the Republican governor and his Republican legislative allies and alleged that their strategy had harmed Montanans and the party's objectives. Last week, about 2 months after it was written, the report was mailed by an anonymous sender to a slew of Democrat-elected officials, Accompanying it was a one-page typed letter impugning the memo's author. A hallmark of the 2025 session was the Montana GOP's public airing of their internal battles, but Democrats were splintering in more subtle ways beneath the fanfare of bipartisanship. I think that story is pretty interesting there about the Democrats being in disarray and how they're infighting over party unity and strategy. I have to say, I haven't seen this whole 23-page memo, but you almost have to agree with the overarching message from the author of this memo. I think that one of the outcomes of the legislative session is that, look, let's take property taxes alone. What really needs to happen with property taxes is we need to throw the whole system out. We need to stop taxing people based off of the value of their home. That's something that I think the people need to do through a ballot initiative, etc. But the Democrats bought into this property tax plan. So if it goes south, they share the burden.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.